Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. This is the first post-victory episode of the year, including preseason. The Seahawks went 0-4 in the preseason, started off the season 0-2, but against the Cowboys this Sunday, got the job done by a score of 24-13. So we have a victory episode. It's gonna be a wild party in here on the Locked On Seahawks podcast. But before we get started with today's show, we'll do a quick intro. I'm Grant Goldberg. I am the co-host of this Locked On Seahawks podcast, and I do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. And Spike is a writer with The Stranger. We are going to talk a lot about this victory. This is, you know, I missed last week's final show, which I'm sorry, I had a lot of stuff that I was committed to, and Spike got the job done. He went in there, had a gritty performance. Spike, you know, you did well on your solo show with a guest, with Sean. So how was that, and are you glad to have me back?
Oh, hey, I am thrilled to have you back, Grant. The most important thing, though, is that I channeled your energy to pick the game. I think I picked it 24-14 to the Seahawks. No, when I picked it myself, I picked it 14-13 to the Cowboys. So even when you're in absentia, you're still the most accurate prognosticator on the podcast. So mazel tov to you, Grant.
Well, I said this to you yesterday, but you managed to pick the game better as me than both of us combined throughout all of last season and this early part of the season. So I think that's what we'll have to go to whenever we pick the game from now on. Just pick the game as each other. But let's get right into it. I think the biggest thing from the game yesterday, even, you know, during the game and post game, was Earl Thomas. He had a phenomenal game. He had like 7 tackles, 2 interceptions, 2 passes defended. He had an Earl Thomas-esque game. It was only the second or third time he's had a multi-interception game. But, you know, what can you say about Earl Thomas? He was phenomenal, and his post-game comments were as interesting as it can get.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with his on-the-field production. Not only did he have the 2 interceptions, one was tipped to him by Bobby Wagner. He made an incredible play. The other was just an unbelievable play, catching the ball on his foot when it could have even, I mean, it would have probably not been a fumble, but man, to keep that ball in the air, trap it on him. We've also seen Earl drop so many of those through his career.
Right.
So you know he was dialed in and playing at his absolute best. He also led the team in tackles with 7 total, 6 solo tackles. He also, on the Bradley McDougal punch, he was the last guy back that slowed Ezekiel Elliott up just enough. Anyway, it was McDougal who punched it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was Earl committing to the play, sticking with the play, knowing his angles, knowing where to be, that kept the Seahawks, kept that a fairly comfortable win. I mean, it got a little nervy, but like, they were never up by fewer than double digits in the fourth quarter and kneeled it out up 11. I mean, like, it doesn't get more comfortable than that without a real blowout with this team, which we'll get to later, is unwilling to even try to do at this point.
Yeah.
Which, yikes. But then, and then you get to his post-game con, what he's talking about post-game. And for me, I think what is most interesting is how refreshing his honesty is. Because,
yeah,
like, he's saying, and everything he's saying is fair. It's like, look, I'm not going to risk getting hurt in practice. We see dudes go down in practice all the time. Deshaun Watson blows his ACL on a non-contact play in practice last year. You know, it happens all the time. And Earl being like, look, I'm not going to risk it if I don't have a long-term guarantee, that is totally fair. And I mean, look, we don't know what he's asking for. Team-related reporters are leaking now that he's asking for quote-unquote crazy money. I still don't think the Seahawks have offered him the biggest contract in the league for a safety. And so until they do that, and until they say they've done that, I don't care. Pay him. At least offer him that. Offer him the biggest contract in the league. Do it. Just do it. Come on, Grant.
Yeah, I'd say, and one of the biggest things that stood out to me yesterday post-game was the support that he got from his teammates. Had Bradley McDougal, Shaquille Griffin, Bobby Wagner, even Frank Clark. They all, you know, had an outpouring of support for him. Bradley McDougal, during Earl Thomas's press conference, not press conference, but the media scrum, yelled, "Pay that man!" Just right out and blurted it out, and like that's how we all feel. During his crazy interception, the Trey Flowers had a really good punch out of the ball on his first interception, and then like you said. He, you know, helped Bradley McDougal to get that punch out, and you know he's what helped prevent Dallas from making it more of a game with that with that second interception. Even though they didn't do anything off the turnover, and like you said, we'll get into that later. But you know he is what makes this defense go.
That combo, that McDougal Thomas pairing, has looked really good for now. Into last season, and they look even better this season with McDougal really integrating himself into the system. And it's cool. It's cool to watch, and they're bringing in three safeties, although occasionally they're doing it by putting a 12th man on the field. But, the Tedrick Thompson as third safety, sort of heavy nickel guy is, that's working too. Everything about our safety situation is great. It is the only unit on the field that is great. Why would you disrupt that? Why would you disrupt that? That is what this Seahawks team is built on, and it is executing at a shockingly high level given all the turnover that's happened on this defense.
Yeah, and they're creating turnovers. I'd even go as far to say, it's not really a big stretch. This was the best game from the secondary all year. Trey Flowers had a good, I don't know if it's a product of facing Dak Prescott or, you know, how much pressure they got on the quarterback, but it was the best game, you know, just watching it, the eye test, the best game they had all year. But it all revolves around Earl Thomas. It starts with Earl Thomas, and he's what allows his teammates to play the way they do. He's the LeBron James of safeties. We've used LeBron as a comparison for Michael Dixon, but he makes his teammates better just by being on the field, knowing they can play free, they can play loose, and knowing they can make mistakes. Playing knowing you can make mistakes is as freeing as you can get on a football field, and you know Earl Thomas is the beginning, middle, and end of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's just say we're probably not going to talk Michael Dixon today. It's funny, he had a disappointing game, but he still was probably the eighth or ninth best punter in the league this week and had a 61 yarder. And we're like, oh man, he was just okay. Yeah. Anyway, Earl Thomas doesn't have those games. Earl Thomas's intensity, and the last thing I want to say about Earl Thomas is there's criticism coming out again. I think it was Brock Heward, who has tons of sources inside Seahawks. So you can assume, I don't want to say he's a mouthpiece for the organization, but he's getting his info from inside the org. And he said that one of the things about Earl is that he's not protecting the team right now. And if you hear his teammates talk, that isn't what they're saying. They get it. They think, in fact, he is protecting the team because he's fighting for the players. He isn't just fighting for himself on this contract. He's fighting to reestablish the idea of extending veterans who have earned second or third contracts in spite of what happened with Cam and Marshawn. And so he is protecting the team. And if you're saying he's not protecting the team, what you're saying is he's not protecting the organization's finances, which is to say that he's not protecting Paul Allen and the cap situation. And that is not the team.
That's ridiculous.
And if we've conflated the idea of protecting the team into protecting the cap situation, then Pete Carroll's pyramid of victory is win forever pyramid has lost its mind. Yeah. We are off the win forever pyramid if that's what we're talking about when we're talking about protecting the team. Earl Thomas is protecting this team by going out there, playing his best, and fighting for the other players on this team.
Yeah, and I know Frank Clark isn't the most upstanding citizen on the Seahawks, but even he said on his post-game media scrum, that they know what's going on with Earl. They talk to Earl every day. He's out there every day with them. And, he's, fighting for this contract, and he's trying to set the precedent for the players. And, I think it's a little overstated, the missing practice and everything. Earl even said, practice is what has made him the player that he is today. and like he takes it seriously. But even if he has a small thing like a headache, he's not practicing. It's sort of like the Le'Veon Bell situation, but he's actually in there. But no,
yeah.
he's taking care of himself, and he's making sure that he can secure that contract either in Seattle or anywhere else. If he's a veteran needing a contract, I'm sure the Oakland Raiders will be more than happy to give him the deal with John Gruden at the helm. But yeah, Earl deserves a contract. His teammates know that. I'm sure the coaching staff knows that. But it's up to the management to stop playing these games and even initiate these talks. Earl said that he wants his agent to talk to them and get a deal done. He loves Seattle. It's where his family is. And oh my gosh, it's just mind-boggling that there hasn't been any progress towards that situation.
Yeah, I agree. And we got to talk about this game in a little more detail, but we're going to take a quick break first. We're going to be back, and we're going to talk some offense.
Because
the Seahawks offense did things, kind of, maybe. So we'll be back right after this. Locked On Seahawks. Stay tuned.
The Seahawks had their first game at CenturyLink Field, and were you there? I don't know, but you could have been with VividSeats.com. You can download the Vivid Seats app, and you can get in the game. They have great prices. They have a quick, easy mobile interface, and the thing is with Vivid Seats is that they're going to get you in the game, and they're not going to give you the option of giving either your arm or your leg or both. And it gets even better with their new promo code. If you spend $200, you can get $20 back with the promo code Locked On. You have to go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app, or visit Vivid Seats at vividseats.com on desktop, and get the promo code Locked On to receive $20 off your order of $200 or more. Anything helps. You can go to Seattle. You can go to CenturyLink. They have these new and inexpensive food prices and bundle deals that you can get a lot of food for cheap, and you could still have some of that $20 left over. So make sure you go to Vivid Seats. You take advantage of the promo code Locked On to receive $20 your order of $200 or more. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And when we last left you, we focused heavily on the defensive side of the ball, namely Earl Thomas. But the offense in spurts on Sunday got things done. And whether it was a product of Brian Schottenheimer, it was despite Brian Schottenheimer, you can guess which one we're going to lean towards. But Russell Wilson looked the most effective he's looked all year. The running game, despite the yards per carry, quote-unquote, got going. And the Seahawks won the game. Spike, I'm going to throw it to you. We talked about this a little bit yesterday on Twitter or on text messages, that there were some enjoyable play calls amidst the disaster of what a Brian Schottenheimer offense is. So, go ahead and talk about what you saw yesterday from this offense.
Yeah, there were some frisky little third down, like nice play designs on third down, and you could see the impact. Like, that's the credit I'm going to give Brian Schottenheimer today, is you could see the impact of him having some fresher play designs on third down, some interesting pre-snap motion for the first time, some like passes to running backs where he really created mismatches, got them into the open field, and got nice little third down conversions that we're not used to seeing from this team. So that is good. What is less good is this stubborn insistence on the way in which they were running the ball. And I'll put it to you this way. The first drive of the game where Carson ran the ball, I think, six, seven times. He ran the ball like seven times in the first half. That first drive was hot garbage.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks drove from backed up right near their end zone up to like midfield. But that came on a really specious, like kind of nonsense roughing the passer penalty. And then that drive was like, move forward, but very haltingly. There was no even look towards an explosive play, which is why the drive petered out near midfield and we ended up punting. So you end up in a situation where you're not even close to getting points. You ain't even in the ballpark of getting points. And you've done a ton of work and frankly risked turning the ball over. We saw Rashad Penny put the ball on the ground this week. Like, if you try to do these long drives, the risk is that you turn the ball over. And we know that because that's what the Seahawks defense invites other teams to do. And so we, against a Dallas defense that's fine, decided to treat them like the old school Seahawks defense and really risk, losing the ball. And the reason we won this game is because of the turnover differential. We turned them over three times, and they didn't turn us over. And we got real lucky on that Rashad Penny fumble that really could have changed the direction of this game. And then Russell Wilson balled out for the first time all year. Now, when I say balled out, I just mean like looked real good, didn't look like he had happy feet, was consistently hitting guys. I mean, if Brandon Marshall doesn't drop a bunch of catchable balls, we'd be talking about this maybe a little differently because that first drive did peter out because of a Brandon Marshall drop, as did the second drive, as did the fourth. So, like on and on and on. But in terms of what I saw from this offense, Chris Carr, A, the fact they're going with Chris Carson is good because Chris Carson is fine. And running the ball with Chris Carson is fine. Like, I'm not the full don't run the ball guy. I am saying that the stubborn insistence on running the ball is going to catch us in the end against better teams than Dallas, teams that can move the ball on offense. And what I didn't see were green shoots in terms of the team's philosophy. What I saw were green shoots in terms of the team's execution. And the last thing I'm going to say is that our offensive line is fine, and that was without Posick and Britt. Like, credit where credit is due. That offensive line looked fine. I mean, Jermaine Defoe got beat badly once, but like other than that, it was like fine. I don't know, man. Like that's not bad. That's better than we've been. It's been terrible.
I would say that it's not the game to follow the script of how it went, but you take bits and pieces and see what worked and then use that in coming weeks. I thought the offensive line, for the most part looked really fine. It gave Russ a lot of time, and that allowed him to be sharp and hit his receivers right on the hands, whether they brought it in or not. Tyler Lockett had a really nice game. He's scored three touchdowns in as many games, and
Yeah, great
this
point.
extension is looking like it's paying off. He's on pace to have over 1,000 yards, over 60 catches, and 10 touchdowns. Well, he's on pace for 16 touchdowns. But yeah, I liked what I saw from specific parts of the team. The way Chris Carson ran the ball, whether he had a lot of holes, he was always pushing the pile forward, and he was, running towards the sticks. He always runs hard, and I think his patience is a little undervalued. And then I'll put the focus on their earlier third down success. Throughout most of the game, they were fine on third down. Sort of petered out on these three and out drives later in the game, which allowed it to get a little sweatier than we'd like to in the fourth quarter. You mentioned the
Yeah,
turnover.
the stubborn insistence on running the ball. I mean, Carson did great. I mean, especially on that last drive, breaking that last run that clinched the game. That was the best play of the game from Chris Carson. It was incredible. And like, wow. It was just a wow moment for me watching him just bring that level of physicality and just look awesome. And that was great. And I love that we've got a guy in Chris Carson who's a guy. And like, who's that old Boston College coach who's like, we got dudes here, dudes as far as the eye can see. Chris Carson's a dude. Like, I really like Chris Carson. And God, all right, can we? Is this a safe space for me to just go off one more time? Why do we pick Rashad Penny? What are we doing? Oh my God. Oh, what? 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 Are you kidding me with this? Are you kidding me with this? You gotta be kidding me.
No, we're not.
What?
Look, Chris Carson, in your own words, is a great first round pick.
Yeah.
I
I
think
mean,
it's so bad for Rashad Penny that, one, we have Chris Carson in the running back room, and two, Brian Schottenheimer is so stubborn and so insistent on running the ball that it doesn't give him, the luxury of having a few carries and look good, like looking good in them.
no, but
But no, but
he had a
but
few. He took
No,
the
but
ball on
here's
the
the thing. Here's the
ground.
thing. Yes, he put the ball on the ground, and he had a few carries, but they were so run heavy on Sunday that Dallas was expecting it, and they bring Penny on the field. They know he's going to run the ball because they want to see what they have in Penny, so they're going to expect the run. Whether he puts the ball on the ground, that's his own fault, and that's a bad play. But like, having Brian Schottenheimer being so stubborn on the run game doesn't help Rashad Penny.
No, absolutely. I agree. That's a good point. I also will say, if you are taking a running back in the first round, he needs to be a generational talent who can create yards on his own. Rashad Penny has not shown anything like that. And you're seeing the same thing in New England right now with Sonny Michel, by the way. Like, what is happening with these otherwise good franchises just wasting late first-round picks? You know who looks real good is Harold Landry. Like, what are we doing? Grant, I am hot under the collar with this Rashad Penny nonsense. And it is nonsense. Because it get like, and you talk about protecting the team and like the Pete Carroll win forever pyramid. And like, the core of it is competition. Yeah. And if you're putting Rashad Penny out there, you are undermining the core of the pyramid, which is competition. Like, because he cannot be competing at a level that is earning any field time. He looks worse than anything. Maybe it's just coming back from injury, but then make him inactive and play CJ ProSize.
That's what I was just going to mention. That, you know, what does he offer in these 3 weeks that we haven't seen from CJ ProSize, you know, during his career? We've seen, you know, this dynamic ability from ProSize when he's been healthy and on the field. Even in the preseason a little bit, he looked physically and mentally ready. I just don't think that the coaching staff or the front office wants the flack for, you know, sitting their first round running back. And they need to have the humility to be like, okay, well, you know, we need to see what these other guys can bring in this locker room. We need to put the best product on the field, and we don't need to prove a point to ourselves that we made a good draft pick, because frankly, it's not. The value wasn't there. Really, he's a fine player that's yet to be determined, but, you know, then play him more. But you can't, well, here's the thing, you can't play him more because Chris Carson has obviously and convincingly won the starting job out of the running back group. They gave him the ball 32 times this past week after not giving him the ball, you know, more than 5 times last week. And it's, you know, kind of this, I said it about the Brian Schottenheimer hire, but it's an ass backwards way of thinking. This running game is kind of a mess. They had a 100-yard rusher because of attrition, not because of performance, which is kind of not really slight at Chris Carson because he runs the ball great. He runs the ball fine. But, you know, he ran the ball 32 times. If you don't have 100 yards, then the running game is, you know, seriously a disaster. It's a messy situation to describe it at best.
Yeah,
Yeah.
It is. It's raw.
Yeah,
the running offense is not good right now, man. Like the offense, like and I'll also say this: there are just no weapons in the passing game. There's just nobody who's consistently winning and getting open downfield, and that's just so tough to deal with. Like, what do you do with that? Like, what do you do with an offense that just doesn't have guys who can win one on one? It's tough. I mean, Tyler Lockett is that guy, and he can win one-on-one sometimes with speed and route running. But he's not doing it every down. He's not that down-to-down guy. He's that big shot guy. And don't have anyone who's creating space on their first step, who's creating space on intermediate routes. You know, like, we don't have anyone hitting from, like, 15 yards. Yeah, and it's – what do you do?
It's making me question why David Moore isn't playing more. Just to see, you know, what this guy can do against, you know, a legit NFL secondary, not these second and third stringers, and that may be a product of how he's playing in practice. But he's gotten limited snaps during the year, and your offense needs playmakers, dynamic, you know, playmakers. And I just think it can't hurt to play him a little more, see what he can do.
I guess I think this is the ramifications of missing on Amara Darboh. You know what I mean? They spent some draft capital on the wide receiver position, and they got nothing out of it. And that is killing Russ right now. And I don't care for it. So, you know, Just saying, just throwing that out there as another piece of tinder on the fire that is this real schmedium Seahawks offense. But again, if they don't make mistakes and the defense plays as well as it did, and Chris Carson looks like a dude, and Russell Wilson isn't turning the ball over or running into sacks, and the offensive line looks okay, we can win games. We looked functional. We looked like the Seahawks, especially in the second and third quarter of this game. So, you know, we're not in panic mode anymore, which is nice.
Yeah, I'd say that a win kind of helps the situation, but, you know, even when they win, there's still, you know, giant flaws in the game plan. But enough of that. We'll go to something more positive. We're going to give out game balls to end the show, so stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Did you put money on the Seahawks-Cowboys game? Did you put money on the Seahawks-Cowboys game with MyBookie? If you didn't, you're messing up. MyBookie is our preferred betting site on the internet. There's quick, fast payouts. You get your money quick. There's a great interface to use, whether it's mobile or on desktop. And, you know, look, we wouldn't recommend a service that hasn't been good to us. Spike's used it. My brother's used it. And there's nothing but great things. And so what you need to do is join MyBookie now, and they'll match your deposit dollar for dollar. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON25, they'll give you an extra $25 on a deposit over $100. It's free money if you're willing to put it on the line. So be bold, you know, be active on mybookie.ag. Make sure you go use the promo code LOCKEDON25, and they'll give you $25 when you put down $100 or more. That's mybookie.ag, LOCKEDON25. We are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You're still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And, you know, we talked about the game. While there were still flaws, there were great plays made by great to good players. And we're going to give out game balls. And, you know, I'll start us off. I mentioned the secondary earlier today, but I have to give a game ball. And this is going to be a little unpopular, but to Frank Clark for his performance on Sunday. It's his third consecutive game with a sack. He had a few great plays where he, you know, timed the snap perfectly and got a great jump, and had either one and a half sacks on Dak Prescott. But he was what, you know, allowed the line to get pressure. Even when he didn't wrap up Dak Prescott, you know, he was in the backfield forcing these sacks, you know, funneling Dak inside to eventually get sacked by another player. And so it was a standout performance, which helped generate sacks for Clark himself or for the other members of the defensive line.
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair pick. I think the other guy on the D-line who was at that level was Jaron Reed.
Yeah.
Jaron Reed had a real, real nice game. And yeah, I mean, the defensive line worked. The Cowboys' offensive line is not what they were. I mean, Tyron Smith was hurt in the game, missed some snaps, came back in, and was utterly ineffective. They had some guy whose number was like 52 playing a bunch of snaps at guard. I was like, no. That's no good. You don't want your guard with number 52. But it was just nice to see us get some pass rush. I mean, that Quentin Jefferson roughing the passer call was like the softest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was like dumb, but like also like, come on, like, what are we doing right
even,
now?
Even Clay Matthews rolled his eyes at that one.
Yeah, poor. I mean, poor Clay Matthews. No, he should. I mean, whatever. Those are. I mean, like again, like it is that thing of like maybe don't rush the passer because you're gonna get like for every sack you get, you're also gonna get a roughing penalty. Like that's just how it's gonna balance out this year. It's crazy. My game ball, Earl's too obvious. Bradley McDougal or Trey Flowers? I mean, no explosive passes from the Dallas offense. No explosive passes. And their receiving core is dreadful. It is one of the worst receiving cores in the league, if not the worst. That said, We shut him down except for Cole Beasley. I mean, Cole Beasley made a couple plays over the middle against Justin Coleman. But the fact that Trey Flowers is doing this is a unheralded rookie. When Shaq Griffin did it last year, we were drafting Shaq Griffin to be a starter from day one in a great cornerback draft, and he's lived up to high expectations.
Yeah.
With Trey Flowers, you've got a little bit of magic, you know? And it's cool, and I love it. So hopefully that continues. I mean, it's you know, it's tough to know if that's going to continue, but hopefully it does.
Yeah, I agree. He had that play where he generated the turnover for Earl Thomas, and he wasn't really like, you didn't really see him all game. You know, that's something I mentioned with Shaquille Griffin, and that was another game for Shaquille Griffin where, you know, he wasn't, you know, really in the game, which is, you know, as great as you want to. A game as you want to have as a cornerback. We've seen it for years with Richard Sherman where he's not even targeted, and for Shaquille Griffin and Trey Flowers to have similar type games where they're not really, you know, a huge factor in how the game goes, you know, that's their influence, and that's a great thing. You see Trey Flowers and the progression that he's made from week one where he's being targeted, and week two where, you know, he has, you know, a slightly better game, to week three where, you know, he's generating turnovers.
Flowers didn't play week two, but
exactly, he didn't play week two, my bad.
But I thought he was okay week one, and I thought he was even better week three, and Pete likes him and he's keeping the cap on the defense. And we've seen what happens when CB2 doesn't keep the cap on the defense. That's Kerry Matthews, and we can't live that life again.
Right. Yeah. I'd say Trey Flowers does his job, and it's remarkable that he's made the conversion, and he was looking like a project throughout the whole offseason, and he's come in here and he's done a fine job as a starter. He's been, you know, I'd say as good as, you know, most right cornerbacks. That's a position where it's a lot of uncertainty. A lot of, you know, big yards come from there. You saw Saints Falcons where, you know, Calvin Ridley got to eat because Marshawn Lattimore was on Julio Jones for most of the game, and Marshawn Lattimore eventually had to make the switch over to Calvin Ridley, and that's a product from the right cornerback situation when you don't get your best corner on a receiver. But, you know, Trey Flowers has done fine. I maybe is a little bit of a product of the Dallas offense and the limited amount of throws Dak Prescott can make. He doesn't test anybody downfield, and he has an uninspiring receiver core. But it was a good game for Trey Flowers to get more experience under him, and he looked fine.
Yeah, and the good news is next week is going to be another fun game against a receiving core that has an aging Larry Fitzgerald that's not being targeted and very little else. So, and maybe a rookie quarterback, or maybe the Sam Bradford experience. Who knows? I don't know, but it should be a fun one for those of us who want to see Trey Flowers succeed as CB2.
Yep, I agree. And I think that does it for Game Balls and today's show. Spike, do you have anything else?
I just want to say that in two fantasy leagues, I was able to get Drew Brees as like the 11th quarterback off the board. Jeez. And I feel like man, lots of guys spending like fifth round picks on dudes who aren't Drew Brees. Y'all idiots. I'm a genius.
Man, I guess my fantasy team is laboring right now, but I guess the one source of happiness from there is me drafting Patrick Mahomes as Deshaun Watson insurance.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ooh,
hell
Mahomes, yeah. That's going to be an experience for Trey Flowers and Shaquille Griffin when they meet the Chiefs later this year. But I'm excited for
long way off.
There's a lot of more time for them to get some more experience under their belt.
Then Tedrick Thompson will be the best free safety in the league. Am I right?
We're having fun,
guys. It's fun to win. We had like two real quarters of Seahawks football. Oh, it was so nice. It was so nice. You know what else is nice? Knowing all the stats from PFF. They're elite stuff. We've been able to get it this year. It's been awesome.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see how some of these guys graded out and looked a little deeper into the stats to see if my instinct of the passing game is really what mattered. You know, see if that's backed up by the numbers. You know, and also Vivid Seats, man, get to the games. Get there. It must have been amazing to be there in person and watch some good Seahawks football.
Yeah, you know, who knows if that's, you know, far and few between these days. But, yeah, get in the game and put some money on the game with my bookie. So make sure you take advantage of the promo codes we have. It's Locked On for Vivid Seats and Locked On 25 for my bookie. So, you know, thank you guys for listening to the show. And always reach out to us on Twitter, on iTunes with a 5-star review. You can find our show on iTunes, on Spotify, Google Podcasts. Anywhere you listen to your podcasts, you'll be able to find our show. So make sure you take advantage of us being everywhere.
Yes.
All right. So for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I am Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.